الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Currently, the Muslims around the globe are going through many difficulties and hardships. At a national level and at an international level, we find Muslims are going through and suffering many, many challenges. We look at Sudan, Gaza, China and Burma. In all these countries, Muslims are being oppressed, tyrannized, kicked from pillar to post. And in this country, we can also see, in the form of xenophobia and Islamophobia, what is happening before our eyes. There's so much of oppression raining on the Muslims from all quarters around the globe. And the Muslims are waiting for the help of Allah to come. Helpless, hopeless. Each mu'min in his heart is thinking when the help of Allah is going to come to this ummah. The question that lingers in the heart of every believer is under the circumstances, under the current situations, what is the solution for the ummah to bring down the help of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? What is the solution to change the global halat of the ummah in all parts of the globe that they're going to difficulties? How can we reverse? How can we change the condition? Each person is thinking, what is the solution? So before explaining the solution, it's important for us brothers to understand what is the system of Almighty Allah. From the very beginning of creation till this point, and from now till the day of Qiyamah, Allah Rabbul Izzat has a divine system. Nothing happens haphazardly, that something happened in the morning, something happened in the evening, America took over, something happened here, something happened there. No, it doesn't happen like that. Allah is in control. Allah was in control. Allah will always remain in control. But Allah controls the systems of this dunya with His nizam, with His divine plan. A mu'min being connected to Islam, connected to Allah, we should understand what is the divine plan of Allah and the divine system that Allah runs this world. So the system of Allah is that when good amal and good conditions go up, Allah brings good conditions down to the earth. And when evil deeds go up, then Allah sends azab down to the earth. This is the system of Almighty Allah. From the very, very beginning of creation till now and till Qiyamah, it's going to be the same thing. When the amal of insan is conforming to the pleasure of Allah, there's goodness in the earth, there's kindness, there's compassion, there's justice, Allah Rabbul Izzat will cause good conditions to reign on this ummah. And when insan will change his ways, instead of being loyal, he become disloyal. Obedient, he'll become disobedient. Then Allah Rabbul Izzat also will deal with the ummah and the creation in the same way. It's a system of Allah. What goes up, comes down. If good goes up, good comes down. And if evil conditions go up, or even amal go up, then we find that punishment of Allah comes down. So it was the way of the Sahaba, whenever they face any trial, tribulation, hardship or difficulty, then they learn from the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, turn to Allah. He is the controller of all affairs. In His hand lies everything. So if you turn to Allah, become obedient to Him, then He'll change the condition immediately. Allah is waiting for the servants. Who is that servant going to turn to Allah in Tawbah? Who's going to change their ways? Who's going to change their lives? Who's going to reform their condition? This is what Allah Pak is waiting. Comes in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَبْسُتُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيُ اللَّيْلِ وَيَبْسُتُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيُ النَّهَارِ. Allah's hands are spread out, waiting to embrace the sinners of the night. In the day Allah, as though His hands are spread out to receive the sinners of the night who turn to Him in Tawbah. And in the night Allah's hands are spread out to receive the sinners of the day who will turn to Him in Tawbah. Allah is waiting. So each mu'min should look at his condition, his personal life, his family life, his collective life, his circle, and he should judge for himself whether he's on the right road or on the wrong road. In the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, there was one philosopher, an ancient philosopher, his name was Aflatun. In Arabic they call him Aflatun. In English, Plato. So he wanted to test Hazrat Isa alayhi salam to see, is Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam is the true Nabi of Allah, or is an imposter, he's only claiming nubuwat, but he's not a true Nabi. So he asked Isa alayhi salam a very ajeeb question. He's a philosopher, so he was a thinker, and quite intelligent person. So he told Nabi Isa alayhi salam that if the sky was bows and raining arrows down to the earth, and each arrow came in the form of a calamity, a tragedy, an azab and punishment, then how could one save himself from these arrows of calamity, arrows of problems, hardships, tragedies? Then the skies became bows, raining down arrows, each arrow is the calamity is coming on the earth. If you're in the earth, how to save yourself? Nabi Isa alayhi salam spontaneously mentioned, go on the side, and then he even mentioned, Aflatun said, and the one who's raining those bows is Allah. In other words, there's bows on the sky, and there's arrows being rained down to the earth, the one who's Allah. How to save oneself from the calamities and punishments that are coming down? So Isa alayhi salam immediately said, go on the side of the one who is sending down those arrows of azab. You'll save yourself. If you go on his side, then you'll be protected and safeguarded, because you're on his side. Aflatun knew that, no, this is a Nabi. So unfortunately, he didn't believe. He said, no, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to people who are deficient in reasoning and thinking. We are philosophers, we are very super intelligent people. We don't need the hidayat of Anbiya. So they didn't toe the line, they didn't comply and accept. So nevertheless, he worked out that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the response he gave, he said, when it's coming from Allah, then you go on Allah's side, and you'll be protected. So mentioned in Quran, and in the Mubarak Hadith, that you go on Allah and become obedient to Allah, Allah will take care of you. Allah will take care. When Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah and Ajmain face any type of hardship and difficulty, immediately before, this was the response, this was the reaction of Sahaba. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was one Sahabi by the name of Auf bin Malik al-Asja'i radiallahu ta'ala, famous Sahabi of the Nabi of Allah. So he comes to Medina Munawwara, he comes before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, oh Nabi of Allah, something very tragic has happened. A clan of the Kufar, they came to our village, they looted us. They stole all our properties, all our belongings, all our wealth. They stole all my camels. And they even kidnapped my son and they took him away. Oh Nabi of Allah, there's only poverty and there's starvation. And we don't have anything. And my son sent a message to me. In some way he got the message sent to me that there are very, very harsh and mean towards him. They tied him up in leather straps and they are beating him. They are very harsh and mean towards him. He's in problems. My son asked me to tell you, make dua for him. And what is the solution to save him from this difficulty? So the Sahabi came, he came for financial assistance or whatever assistance. He came to Rasulullah, he said, we got no food. And this is the problem, that they took all my wealth, they took my camels, the main source of livelihood for me and my family, and they took my son away too. Can you imagine now what a situation? So the Nabi of Allah told him, he says, presently Medina Munawwara is going through famine and drought. There's starvation and poverty in Medina. There's many, many households don't have anything. The Nabi of Allah said, I also don't possess anything in my home that I can give you. I can assist you. I don't have anything at all at home. But turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. Make dua, you and your family. Allah's mercy will come down. Allah's divine assistance will come down. You turn to Allah. Nabi Sallam told him. And then Rasulullah Sallam told him that you send this message to your son, that morning and evening you should recite the verses, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. He must recite this morning and evening. Just these verses. And he must recite, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ in abundance. Allah's help will come. So the Sahabi, he accepted the advice of Rasulullah and he went home. His wife was waiting. Imagine now, you know, when he got looted, and you lost everything, and the wife is waiting, you know, what response will come from the Nabi of Allah. So he comes home, his wife is waiting. See what he said. He said, Rasulullah said, he doesn't have anything in his home he can offer us. It's poverty, poverty. But he said, we should turn to Allah. Allah will assist, Allah will send his divine help and mercy. He says, the best advice he gave you, he connected us with Allah. Allah is in control of affairs. Allah will assist us and help us. So she was overjoyed to hear the response. So happy, so happy. And then the Sahabi sent this news to his son. His son began to recite these verses morning, evening, and la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah in abundance. It was just few days that passed. And at nightfall, when the kuffar were asleep, Allah Rabbul Izzat made it such that the chains that the Sahabi was tied up in, his legs and his hands, the chains just broke automatically, all of a sudden, by itself. Allah Pak made it happen. All the chains broke. Kufar was asleep. The Sahabi, he got loose, he escaped, and he took his father's camels, and he took many, many camels, and a lot of wealth of the Kufari, as booty. All was halal for him. And he brought it to Medina Munawwara, or he brought it to his father's place, the village, and he mentioned it. Allah Pak saved me, Allah Pak rescued me. Father was so delighted, father was so pleased and happy. And there is that Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala comes to Medina Munawwara to inform Rasulullah of good news. O Nabi of Allah, Allah's help came down to us and my son has been released. Allah Pak, this is how. Right? In a miraculous way, Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala caused the chains to break. Allah released him and he brought so much of wealth that this was a means of our livelihood coming to us. Maybe it seemed like a tragedy, but the end of this year was only mercy and goodness. Rasulullah was so happy. Nabi Sallam went on the minbar. It was at that occasion the verses of Quran came down. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on the minbar, he addressed Sahaba, he informed them what happened. And then he said, Allah revealed these verses that the one who will fear Allah, he will bring taqwa in his life. He will conform to what Allah wants from him at every moment. That is taqwa. He won't displease, disobey and commit sins in his life. He'll turn. Allah says, the one who will be obedient to Allah, the one who will fear Allah, Allah will make from every difficulty an exit for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will grant him abundant rosy from avenues least expected. See the Sahabi. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And the one who places trust and reliance on Allah, Allah will be sufficient for him. He won't have to look at dunya and he won't have to look at people. Allah will be for him, Allah will be with him, and Allah will assist him in every way. Inna Allah balighu amri. Allah Pak will cause his plan to reach completion. Allah Pak got a plan, you know. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدَرًا. But everything has a fixed time and limit for it. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So don't hasten. Do what you're supposed to do and then leave the rest to Allah. Become obedient, change your life, then you'll see. You'll see halat, Allah will show. Allah showed his help to Sahaba, Allah will show this ummah also today. So look what happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so pleased. The message of this entire incident, the message of these verses, Allah is telling us how beautifully, oh my banda, don't lose hope, but be obedient to me. Be obedient to me. You see, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was an earthquake that struck, and the Sahaba Ridwanullah alaihim ajma'in became concerned, became worried. At that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to the Sahaba and he mentioned something very important. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, "Inna Rabbakum yasta'tibukum fa'atibu." O my Sahaba, O my Ummat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to turn to Him in repentance and tawbah. That this earthquake didn't just happen like this. Some mistake insan is making, on account of which Allah Pak brought this. And Allah Pak wants you to turn to Him, so turn to Him in tawbah. So let's look at what happened. What was the direct response of Rasulullah SAW to the situation? How beautiful. We know that not long ago, there was a major earthquake in the Philippines. We all know about it. A lot of damage, a lot of nuksan, a lot of problems. Then few years ago, there was a major earthquake in Turkey. You know what problems it was. Everybody was worried. So now when earthquakes happen, these are natural disasters in the eyes of the kuffar. It's a natural disaster that struck. And you know, the aftermath or the after condition result, you'll see what happens. So in the eyes of the kuffar, how they view it, and the eyes of Islam, the eyes of the Muslims, how we view it, this is something for us to look at. You see, Britain, they thought, you know, we're very far from the plates, you know. And scientists say that these earthquakes are caused to plates under the ground. Certain plates, you know, under the ground. And when those plates move, then it creates an earthquake. One of my relatives was saying, you know, earthquakes are real plates. I say, no plates, my. Everything with the command of Allah. No plates and everything. So he said, oh, I didn't know that. Someone told him. So anyway, so that when the plates move, he says, no, it creates an earthquake. So that's one group of scientists, that's what they say. The second group of scientists, they say that no, under the earth there are treasures of certain minerals, certain resources. There's iron, there's gold, there's silver. It's all different types of treasures. When all these materials, right, which are very, very close to each other, then there's certain gases that are produced. A lot of gases. And when there's no place for those gases to be released, it creates an earthquake. It results in an earthquake. One group of scientists say there are plates, others say that no, treasures of minerals and resources, all these things. This is what the kuffar say. So Britain thought, you know, we're far from this place, we don't have to worry. Allah Pak caused the earthquake to strike Britain, their eyes open. They realize it's not the plates, it's Allah. Allah is in control, Allah is in power. So in the hadith, Rasulullah SAW also mentioned that when sins become rife in the earth, people drinking wine, people raising their voices and disrespecting the masjid, in the masjid, music taking place everywhere. Now we see cell phones also. Now people not concerned about the sanctity of Allah's house. So when the zina becomes rife, dancing girls, drinking wine, when the latter of the ummah will begin to run down the former people, respect will leave. And the sunnah of Rasulullah will be growing. A person will have more respect for his friends than his parents. He listened to his wife and disobeyed his mother. Rasulullah said, فَارْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ رِيحًا حَمْحَبْرًا وَزَلْزَلَةً وَخَصْفًا وَمَسْخًا وَآيَاتٍ تُتَابِ كَنِظَامٍ قُتْيَ سِلْكُ فَتُتَابِ. Nabi Al-Islam mentioned, when all these things become very, very widespread in the earth, sins, then you should expect now red winds, earthquakes, people being sucked in the ground, people being sunk into the ground, and different signs Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send on the creation. Allah will send. Like beads of a tasbih. When you cut that tasbih and one after the other, that's what will happen. So Rasulullah SAW connected these natural disasters and earthquakes in particular with amal. When the amal go off, then the nizam goes off. And the system in the world also, everything goes out. Now you see that now, people no longer will remain safe. You won't be secure. You know, when a person has a problem, what he does, he says, hey, you know, I've got a big empire. It took me a long time. Hey, Molana, let me go and insure this thing, you know. I've got to insure my house, insure my car, insure my business, insure everything. Allah Rabbul Izzat, when Allah becomes angry, nobody can stand before Allah's power. One tsunami will come and strike that entire island with all people, buildings, everything, insurance company, all gone. Nobody can give you anything. Insan's eyes will open. Allah says, see, it's only me. In 2004, where the tsunami struck, tsunamis take place because of a volcano eruption in the sea, and the lava comes out. Imagine the sea is so cold, what depth the water is. Allah Pak causes now a volcano eruption in the sea, and then the lava comes up, and the water is boiling to what extent, you know, what volumes. And then Allah Pak causes through this now earthquakes happen in the sea, that earthquakes now the ripple effect of this here causes the tsunami to take place. I don't know how many countries, 4 or 5 countries were affected at that time. But in particular, Indonesia was struck. When Indonesia was struck, that entire island was wiped out. So there was one Jamaat that was working on the island in Indonesia, and one brother, he was part of the Jamaat. So he says that we saw with our eyes, we saw the water coming, that hot water coming from the ocean. Who can save himself from the azab of Allah? What, you know, in what speed, you know? You know, perhaps faster than an avalanche, you know. What speed that thing is coming. How are you going to save yourself? You see, we saw it coming, the Amir in the Jamaat was there, the whole Jamaat, from the windows they saw it coming. The Amir said, turn to Allah in dua. Turn to Allah in dua, perform namaz, Quran, do these things. You see, when a person is in that position, you're not going to think too much, you're immediately going to do it. Why? Because your heart is in your mouth, you don't know what to do. Who's going to help you? At the time you say, you know, the mulanas, I don't know, these people are well, everything they're saying this, but, you know, tell them, bring the money, you know, but the insurance policy, see my car got stolen, tell the mulana, bring the money and come, you know. Allahu Akbar. One person told me, he said, no, we told the people in the day, you know, that it's haram. So one man said, you know, all insurance policies, you know, I cancel it. And then the next week or the following week, somebody stole his car. So he came to fight with that mulana. He said, you told this, yeah? Now you must pay for my car. I don't know what you told him. He said, I don't know what to tell him, you know. I said, you told him that, why, did you cancel that insurance policies and contracts because of me or for Allah? If it isn't for Allah, then it's a test from Allah. Allah will see whether you're loyal to him or you're loyal to the money. But test is going to come. That's how Allah is going to test you. We can't test Allah. Allah will test us. La yusalu amma yafal wa yusalun. Allah says, Allah can't be questioned. Allah will question you. So you did it for Allah. You must be prepared. You must understand. So anyway, so this, the brother says that they saw it coming. They all turned to Allah. It's on a lighter note, you know. When my father was ill, he was in hospital. So I was there nursing my father. And this one non-Muslim, you know, person came to meet my father. Non-Muslim, he knew my father. And perhaps he did some dealings with him. So now he told my father, I heard that you're not well. You had a stroke. My father was in bed. He came. So I stood there. He came to meet my father is sick. And then he went away. So he's telling my father, yeah, I also was in hospital. In house hospital. I also had a heart attack. I was in the ICU. And then, at that moment when you're critical and you don't know whether you live, you don't worry about the house, your shop, your business, your car. You only worry about living. You only worry about life. The scarf is in only one. In the ICU, told my father, you know, Mr. So and so, he said, you know, in the ICU, there's no atheist there. There's no atheist. You'll never find in any ICU, any atheist. In ICU, everybody believes in a God. Because everybody wants to live. So you're not going to find any atheist in the ICU. Allahu Akbar. So I had a good laugh. I said, see, this is a kafir. He's speaking his language. We have Allah. We have Islam. We have, Allah granted us this honor. How fortunate we are. We're not looking down and thinking it's our own grace. Allah's fazl upon us. Only the grace of Allah. So we have Allah, we have Deen, we have Islam, we have the Quran, we have the greatest Nabi, we have everything. But why are we not getting the help of Allah? We are not loyal. So the brother says that we all went on the musalla. Allah made that water came, it went round the masjid. Not one drop entered the masjid. Allah, not one drop entered the masjid. And in the morning, when they came out of the masjid, they found that entire island was flattened. Entire island. Everything was gone. The people, the buildings. What? Everything was gone. But the masjid stood intact. There was one brother spending time with the Jamaat in the masjid. This brother came out, he was worried, my family, my house. Allah kept his house intact. His whole family were all well. Even the cage, the chicken cage outside the house, that was intact also. He had eggs also. His wife cooked the chicken and brought for the Jamaat. Allah Pak showed that, see, my help is with my people. Allahu Akbar. My help is with Deen and the people of Deen. You come on to Deen, my help will be with you. We need Allah, brother. We need success. Allah Pak accepts success in His hand. Be loyal to Allah. Allah Pak will show us. You see, so this is, what is the missing ingredient in our life? What is the solution to the ummah? The solution to the ummah, Rasulullah SAW gave very beautifully in his Mubarak hadith. How beautifully explained. Wallah, this what I'm going to mention now is only with the fazl and the grace of Allah. And we all need to embrace it. Not with our hands, with our hearts, with our lives and everything. Let's make niyat now. Allah Pak grant us this. So Rasulullah SAW told the sahaba, man asbaha yaqul. The person who wakes up every morning and he wakes up with this dua on his tongue. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nabiya. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, as my Rabb. As the one who takes charge of all my affairs, I put my entire life in His hands. Allah is my Lord. I'm not in charge of my affairs. I'm happy with Allah as my Lord. And I'm happy with Islam as my way of life that will govern every action, every word, and everything I do in life. My business, my economic life, my social life, domestic life, my interaction with my friends, my family, everything is going to be, my wealth will be governed by Islam. Wallah, I'm happy with you as my Lord, I'm happy with Islam as my way of life. And I'm happy with Muhammad SAW as my Nabi to guide me through life. I will take direction and guidance from him, from nobody else. So these are the three things, Allah, Rasulullah SAW, and Islam. This is the solution to the problems of the Ummah in every zamana. In the time of Rasulullah, in the centuries that passed, now until Qiyamah, this is the three things, loyalty to Allah, loyalty to Rasulullah, loyalty to Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the one who wakes up in the morning and he recites his dua, Raditu Billahi Rabba, wa bil Islami Deena, wa bi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Nabiya, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, fa ana zaim, I give him guarantee, لَآخُزَنَّهُ بِيَدِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ On the day of Qiyamah, I'll hold him by his hand and I will enter him into Jannat. Allahu Akbar. Imagine Rasulullah SAW is saying that you just do this, be loyal to Allah, Rasulullah SAW, Islam, you lead your life, stay away from sins, guna. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll have the contact to put you in Jannah. What is the contact? You know, the dunya, say, dunya bil wasail, la bil fazail. The dunya operates on contacts, not on merits, you know. You say, person, you know, I'm a mulana, you say, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, you say, they don't know. But who's your contact? You say, you know, these are my contacts. Dunya, you need contacts. In this contact, you need money, then it's your right. In the akhirat, we want to end in Jannah, we need the contacts. What's that contact? Loyalty to Allah, loyalty to Rasulullah SAW, loyalty to Islam, that's the contact. And this is Rasulullah SAW mentioning, in this world, we need this. In the qabr, same three questions. Mar rabbuk, ma dinuk, ma hadha rajul. He said, who is your Lord? Who is this Rasul? Who is Rasulullah? What is your deen? Same thing. On the day of Qiyamah, you're going to need the same thing. You're going to need the same thing. So brothers, we saw the earthquakes, only Allah can save us. We saw the tsunami also, only Allah can save us. And we know a few years ago what happened at the time of this thing. There's so much of floods here. There were so much of problems. Person who's owning so much, in the morning he wake up and his whole house is flooded, he lost this, everything. Allah Pak, Bachai, Allah save, you know. So presently, the dini condition of the ummah in most parts of the globe is at a decline. Most parts of the globe, the deeni condition of the ummah is at a decline. And what is the solution? I told the solution is loyalty to Allah, loyalty to Rasulullah Sallam, loyalty to Islam. If we bring this in our life, Allah Pak will show us the glory that Allah showed Sahaba. Allah Pak showed the Sahaba the glory of Islam. Allah Pak will show us that. Now let's give few examples for us to appreciate and understand who the Sahaba were. Who the Sahaba were. You see, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's going for an walima dawat. As he reaches the venue, he hears some music being played in that venue. Immediately he turns around and he goes back home. Someone told him, but you know, why didn't you enter into that gathering? Why didn't you attend the walima? We know walima is sunnat. He said, no, I heard my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention, man kathara sawada qawmin fahuwa minhum. The one who adds to the number of a people engaged in sin, he'll be in the sight of Allah, he'll be counted from among them. When there's sin happening in that venue, how can I go there? I have to show loyalty to Allah, loyalty to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loyalty to Islam. Immediately, he took a U-turn and he came home. Immediately. He knew that walima is sunnat, provided that in that walima is sunnat also there. Not guna is not taking place there. How important it is. So that's the first thing. Abdullah Masood showed us. Then we look at it, Hazrat Rasulullah ﷺ told the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, he told them how they should run their businesses. So the first thing what we saw, see, is our nikahs. Let's put all our nikah functions, whatever family functions must be 100% according to sunnat. Today, the Muslims are flouting the commandments of Allah so much in these nikahs. You heard, you know, there's one family, and they're having a whole dance. They're having, Allahu Akbar, Allah's azab will come. They're dancing, girls, they call there for the entertainment. This is music. And if you're a little more pious, then you're going to have no nazams with the, you know, nasheeds, with the drums in the background. All that they're having. And then intermingling, women and men. And they're busting, how much? 500,000. People around the globe, the Muslims are in different parts of the world, they got no food. What face we going to face Allah on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah, all that money, we just busted a thing for name and fame, for the decor, for show. And then the people are there, no. Allahu Akbar. So we should understand that these are the things that will draw the wrath of Allah, the anger of Allah. Allah save me. Then the second thing is that our businesses. See, the Sahabi, Rafi ibn Khadij radiallahu ta'ala says, he says the Sahaba in the days of Rasulullah, they were engaged in certain business deals. And they were abundant profit they were making. Lucrative deals, a lot of profits. And then suddenly, Rafi ibn Khadij was the narrator of this, he says, my uncle came, and he says, the Nabi of Allah sent me to inform you that this type of business deal your people are engaged in is haram. The element of riba is there. Sahaba said, immediately we make tawbah, we leave this. Immediately. The uncle of Rafi ibn Khadij radiallahu ta'ala says indeed that this business outwardly, it was a business that was earning us great profit. وَطَوَاعِيَةُ اللَّهِ وَطَوَاعِيَةُ رَسُولِ أَنْفَعْ لَنَا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ. But the obedience of Allah and His Rasul is more important and more better for us than all this money of the world. So look at what they said. Right. So the first thing, we found in the nikahs. Second thing, our businesses. Our businesses must come on sunnah, come on deen. There mustn't be guna. You're running your business, OD facility. You know, alhamdulillah, I know the bank manager, you know, shukar, alhamdulillah. Hey, Allahu Akbar. You say, alhamdulillah. You know, azabs of Allah is going to come. One relative of mine, so he told me that, you know, I saw this dream, and this huge python, a huge python, right? He told me it's huge, but not so big. It's chasing me. And I'm running for my life, and then that thing just bit me, and my eyes open. I'm running, telling people, help me. And then suddenly it just bit me, and my eyes open. I said, no, Maulana, what's the dream? What's the ta'bir? What's the interpretation of the dream? I told him, riba, yeah, man. Interest in the riba, you are in this. Some riba you are in. You are caught up in some riba. Yeah. He said, no, Maulana, you know, I was with the Islamic banks, you know, 25, 30 years of my life. Whenever I used to see as a Mufti Sahib, Mufti Ibrahim Saliji, as it always said, please leave this Islamic bank. So there's nothing, there's no Islam there. Everything is haram. He said, he told me, leave the bank. He says, Shukar, I left the bank and I realized what he told me. I can't say, no Islam there. It's only a show on the top. But really, it's, no. He says, I left the thing. So, well, I'm out of the bank. He said, I'm out of the bank long time. I got no riba. I'm not in anything. I said, see, holy, listen nicely. You left everything, but one thing you still got. One investment you still got, the thing is reaping some riba. He said, yeah, no, one, one I still got. I said, yeah, but not a lot of money. Said, there is money, but he said, yeah, not a lot of money. I said, but you're eating that money. He said, yeah, he said. He told me how you worked it out. I said, no idea, I worked it out. He said, yeah. I said, see, that is that snake you're seeing. You're seeing that snake, Allah is showing you before you go in the qabr, that thing's gonna come for you. Then after that, no one can help you. Allah is very kind, Allah is loving. Please give this thing up. You say, yeah, I'm eating that thing. It's riba, I'm eating that thing. Allah pak bachawe. Then you see the second. The third thing, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, the Rasul of Allah. Now we know who Hazrat Aisha. Our beloved mother, you put all the women and this, our sisters and daughters of the whole world together. Can they ever come close to the rank of our beloved mother, Hazrat Aisha? Allahu Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Everything to us, you know. Her father, Abu Bakr Siddiq, we owe him everything. And his daughter, the beloved wife, respect wife of Rasul Sallam, the mother of the Ummah, you know, when Ibrahim Diola was giving a bayan, and he took Abu Bakr Siddiq's name and Aisha, and he started crying. He says, you know, how much we owe these people. Well, they did everything for us, you know. See, he spoke from his heart. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she narrates over 2,000 hadiths of Rasulullah Sallam. Allah Pak accepted her. So she says that the Rasul of Allah went out on some expedition, he went on some, and her heart always was brimming with Rasulullah's love. Oh, she loved Rasul so much. One is the husband, and the Rasul of Allah. And she knew to get to Allah, you need to get to the heart of Rasul. If you please Rasul Sallam, of course, we're doing everything according to his sunnah, then Allah will also be happy. So he says, the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out some expedition, some jihad. So she hung on the door, she hung a curtain, and there were some pictures on that curtain. Pictures of animate objects. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned, and he entered the home and he only saw that curtain, Allahu Akbar. The Nabi of Allah was so hurt, so hurt. He immediately went to that curtain and he tore it. He tore it up. He tore it. Hazrat Aisha, when she saw this response, now just ponder and think, you know, what would our response be if any senior of ours, you know, our parents or ustaz or sheikh, whatever, had to respond in this way. What will our response be? You know, Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madani Ramadlali, they call him Sheikhul Islam, from the family of Rasulullah. He's from the family. And when he went to the grave of Rasulullah, the qabr of Rasulullah to make salam, he said, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. The people around heard, wa alayka as-salam ya waladi, and upon you be salam, O my son. Nabi Sallam said that. People are all heard. This was a very, very pious buzrug from the family of Rasulullah Sallam. So he hated the English because he knew what destruction the English caused in India. They destroyed the infrastructure of deen. They killed thousands of ulama. The Quran they burned. He knew it. So when the English were ruling, he never even liked to any of the cloth fabric that came from England. Don't like. If someone had a kurta and it was made with that cloth, you get upset. He never should like it. So as the Sheikh Rahmatullahi had one kurta, and the kurta was made with that fabric. Sheikhul Islam Hussein Madani Ramu, when he saw that, he tore the kurta, and Sheikh just smiled. Sheikh knew the love for the sunnah, this man did it. But look how he was so affected, while wearing this. And the Sheikh, of course, it's just a cloth, it's a kurta. But Sheikh immediately honored him. So here Rasulullah Sallam, he tore that thing, he was so upset that these pictures, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha didn't know the pictures of animate objects are not permissible till that point, she didn't know. So she said, Atubu ilallah wa ila rasuli, Atubu ilallah wa ila. I ask Allah forgiveness, ask Rasulullah forgiveness. I turn to Allah and Rasul in forgiveness. O Nabi of Allah, please forgive me, ask Allah to forgive me. I made a mistake. But can you tell me what the mistake is? She didn't know. Rasulullah was angry, but she didn't know. But before she asked, if it was one of us, we say, hey, I mean, you know, there could be a better behavior or conduct, you know, you could have told me in a nice way, you know. See, when there's true love, there'll be something else. That's what we're lacking today. We don't have the love of Allah, Rasulullah of Deen. That's why everything is upside down. So he said, hey, I made a mistake, but oh, Rasulullah, ask Allah's forgiveness for me, please. The Wisdom said, oh, Aisha, these pictures are haram. And those who are involved in photography and picture making, will be subject to the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah in the hereafter. Worst. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَوِّرُونَ Look at it. So now, let's look at it from the length and the breadth of the world. How much the ummah is involved in this YouTube and this internet and these pictures and he's sending these clips and everything. And people don't bat an eye. A person, he will pose in front of the Rosa Mubarak, in front of Kaaba Sharif. He said, take my picture. One buzruk from Bangladesh. One buzruk from Bangladesh. He saw Rasulullah SAW 88 times. He had ziyarat. Just came now. Very pious buzruk, very pious person. He saw Rasulullah SAW. Nabi SAW told him, tell my ummat, I'm getting a lot of taklif. They're hurting me a lot by taking these pictures by my grave. By doing all these things in the Haram Sharif, they're taking the pictures. How much taklif he causing to Rasulullah? Nobody is worried. I say, why? Why the help of Allah not coming? How the help going to come when we are claiming to be enemies of the enemies of Allah, but we are adopting their ways, their culture, they are our heroes, you know, because everything we're doing like them. Everything, yeah. You know, there's one student, he saw this dream. So he saw in the dream that there's Dajjal on one side and Rasulullah on the other side. And that night, when he saw this dream, he was watching these YouTube videos, watching YouTube. And he saw this dream. Must have Fajr also. In the dream, he sees Rasulullah. And Rasulullah is calling the people. And the Dajjal is also calling. And he sees that, you know, he sees all the people, kuffars, ulama, other people, they're going to Dajjal, they're going to all the YouTube people. And people, Rasulullah is calling them. And then he said, I was also going to go by Dajjal. I was going towards him. I said, hey, how can I leave my beloved Rasulullah? He turned his way and he came Rasulullah and he started crying by Rasulullah and his eyes opened. I told him, yeah, you watch this YouTube thing. He said, yeah, I was watching it last night. I said, you know what's happening? So brother, this is now, you know what, we are asking for the solution. This is the solution. Loyalty to Allah, loyalty to Rasulullah, loyalty to Islam. Allah will grant the ummah the success and the glory of Islam. Allah granted Rasulullah and Sahaba. Allah will grant us that. So now, basically, what we need to do, we need to understand what is the sign of loyalty. Let's bring namaz in our life again. The namaz is left. Namaz means that for every salah we come to the masjid, not only Jummah salah. Because Rasulullah was hurt when he heard about people in Medina Munawwara performing their salah at home. Nabi Sallallahu says, I got a good mind and intention of gathering a group of youth, getting some firewood, going to the homes of all those people who are reading in their homes. And they're not coming to the masjid. And the narration of Musnad Ahmad Rasulullah said, had it not been for the woman and the children, I would have done it. But because the woman and children also stay in the house, if I destroy the houses, what's going to happen? Imagine Rasulullah had what a heart of love and mercy. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We sent you, O Muhammad SAW, as a mercy for the world till the day of Qiyamah, for all times. And he is saying, you're not coming to the house of Allah for namaz, I want to burn your houses. He's saying, what pain we cause it to Rasulullah. So, the second thing is our zakat, we must be giving zakat. Give zakat on time, you know. Give a little more. Find out from the ulama, the masail. Then our attire, our dressing should conform to the sunnah. Our lifestyle must conform to the sunnah. Our family functions must conform to the sunnah. We should fulfill the rights we owe to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you got a neighbor and you're oppressing your neighbor. Allahu Akbar. Your wife at home, she's complaining. The behavior is very, very bad. You're swearing. Allahu Akbar. We say, so we took Allah and Rasulullah and Islam out. We went in a whole night and day, we're watching TV, watching all these things. And now we are behaving like the kuffar. We're asking, when the help of Allah is going to come? When the help of Allah is going to come? Allah, how is the help going to come? So we need to bring, change our whole life and make dua. We should make dua for. So the first thing, brothers, what we need to do? We need to make istighfar and tawbah, sincere tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, man lazim al istighfar, the one who holds on to istighfar. Ja'alallahu lahu bi kulli diqin makhraja. For every difficulty, Allah will make an exit for him. Allah will make an exit for him. Right? And, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will remove all his worries. Man lazim al istighfar, ja'alallahu lahu bi kulli diqin makhraja. Wa min kulli hammin faraja. Whatever worries you have, Allah will sort out all your problems and your worries. Allah will remove your worries. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will bless you with rosy from avenues least expected. So just, in other words, the line with Allah that you cut, mend that line. Sort it out. Sometimes, you know, we got a problem. We want to become the judges. So what are we doing? We pass in judgment here. We pass in judgment. We say, no, what is wrong with this, you know, this group, this alim, that alim? We got this problem. As though, you know, everybody going to go to Jahannam, only we destined for Jannah. We must be humble. We must look at your own weaknesses. If you look at your own weaknesses all the time, I'm nothing. I got a problem. Well, you know, Maulana Umar Palan Puri Ramatlali, so he was in the Tabligh Jamaat in Nizamuddin. Alhamdulillah, I had the good fortune, 1995, I saw him before he passed away. So one day he had this one murid, he was also in the Tabligh Jamaat. So Maulana told him, he told that, you know, you got one problem, man. This Buzruk now, you got one problem. So this person was in the work also. See, well, that's the whole problem. You got angry with the Buzruk. See, that's the whole problem. You people always looking at all our faults, always picking it up with this problem, all this thing. You can't appreciate us. The Buzruk told him, see, you got one problem. Hey, this person just lost it. His, you know, his fuse just blew. He says, he blew his top. That's the problem. You people can't appreciate us. Always this problem you're finding and this problem. The Buzu said, this is the problem. This is the problem. You never accept your mistake. Yeah, this is the problem. Allah. So brothers, wallah, we got this problem. Sometimes we don't vent it, but in our heart, we the judges. Allah is the judge. We don't know how we're going to rest in a qabr. Umar Parun Puri, another student or another murid or a person who was with him in the work, he says, no, I saw you got one weakness in you, told that person. That person burst out crying. He says, Hazrat, make dua for me. You know what, you're saying one, I'm full of problems. Jazakallah, please tell me about this one, but make dua for me. He's crying. I say, no, alhamdulillah, you got tawazu, humility, you got Allah Pak will make you go a long way, you know. Allah make you go a long way. So, the first thing is that what we need to do, make a lot of istighfar, and we do not become the judges. Don't judge the ummah. You see now, you know, these people, what's happening here, because maybe some gunas they must be made, man. You see all these people from these foreign countries, xenophobia, Islamophobia they're going through, these Malawi people, some guna they must have. Boy, don't say guna, don't say that, boy. We one ummah, inna hadi ummatukum ummata wahida, we one ummah. And with one ummah, if something happened to your father, what you'll do? You won't tell him, yeah, you all the time in guna, that's why all this azab came on. Don't tell him that. Because it's one collective ummah. When we moved off the path of hidayat, Allah's help is not coming. So we must look at the ummah as one. Our house is not right. That's why we got this problem. The house of Islam, the Muslims, we all one body. So when you see the people in Gaza, don't pass judgment on them. We see the people in Sudan, don't. No, we must cry to Allah that we are part of this problem. We are part of the problem. One day this one student, you know, he mentioned to me, he told me, you know, certain ustad of his, very great buzrug, you know, his sheikh also, I won't take his name, he said, you know, my ustad, my sheikh, and he gave me one itar, a very expensive, good itar, he gave me that itar. So in the dream, I'm seeing that nice big itar bottle, it fell from my hands and it burst, it broke on the sand and all the itar is just spilt. And I'm feeling so grieved and I'm sad. Hey, this thing, what happened? So he said, Maulana, what's the tabir, you know? What's the interpretation? So Allah put it in my heart. You know? What I know? I don't know anything. It's only the grace of Allah. So I told him, I pondered a while, I told him, some buzrug you ran down. You ran down some person, either your ustad, some your mashayikh, some pious servant, you ran him down. You made ghibat of him. Something you went and did wrong here. He said, yeah, Maulana. That night when I saw this dream, I was hearing the bayan of Maulana Abdul Hamid, you know, from Azadwal. And Abdul Hamid is correcting the people that this wrong is in society. Why people don't make tawbah? We have to change. Maulana is worried about the sunnah that's dying in the ummah. So he said, so I'm thinking, hey, see how this buzruk is schooling. He's not a buzruk, man. You see, my buzruk, my sheikh is so and so. I don't see him shouting like this. So he's the buzruk. This man is not a buzruk. He said, he taught like that. Allah. He said, and then he just, so he never even mentioned this to anybody, that ghibat was in his heart, that ill thoughts and wrong thoughts of this great buzruk. Allah says, "Man adali waliyan faqad adantu bil harb." If you are on enmity terms with any of my friends, you harm my friends, you are in enmity with me. Allahu Akbar, you are in enmity. Like how, you know, there are only two places in the whole of deen that Allah says that I wage war with you. One is riba. Is that the person who is getting involved in riba, then Allah and His Rasul, this person is now at war with Allah and His Rasul. Allah, imagine. Adhantu Allah, adhantu bil harb. In the Quran, adhantu. I wage war. Imagine America must phone you. You say America is superpower. They phone you, said, hey, we're sending our people for you. Hey, we're coming to pick you up. Hey, you won't sleep, you know. A superpower. Hey, whatever. Yeah, Allah Rabbul Izzat is saying that I wage war with you. Because you're taking riba. You're all in riba. And the second is any friend of Allah. So I told him, he said, yeah, that night, you know, that Walana Abdul Hamid, you know, I did like this. I say, Allahu Akbar, big problem. But you go tonight, I told him, see, you go tonight, you must make two rakat toba, you must cry on the musalla. Then you must read 40 durood, and give some sadaqah, read some Quran Sharif, ask Allah's forgiveness, and send all this for that buzrug. He doesn't know about you, don't inform him. I don't hurt the buzrug, so. He doesn't know. Send all this for him, all the good deeds you do, go send the thing and make dua, Allah must forgive you. So he said, next morning he came, Alhamdulillah, I did this here. And then that night, and the following night, we went to sleep. One pious person came and he gave him a clean sheet, you know. I said, Alhamdulillah, the tawbah has been accepted by Allah. Clean sheet, it's wiped out, you know. So the first thing the ummah needs to do is go back to Allah. Go back to Allah. Halat come down from Allah. Go back to Allah, Allah Ta'ala. Hold on to istighfar and every day make istighfar. Make istighfar for ourselves, for our families, for the entire ummah of Rasulullah SAW. Cry before Allah. And when we cry, we must cry like really, you know, you are in the same condition like how your brothers are suffering you in that condition. Then the second thing we need to do is that we need to give sadaqah. Give sadaqah. Inna sadaqah la tutfi ghadabarat. Sadaqah cools down the anger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah Pak changes halat with sadaqah. It's important that we must give that sadaqah. In the hadith it is mentioned, Rasulullah s.a.w. mentioned, Hassinu amwalakum bil zakat. Protect your wealth through giving zakat. Not through insurance. If you want protection, protect your wealth, give zakat. Wadawu mardakum bil sadaqah. And treat your ill and your sick with sadaqah. Someone got sick, Rasul s.a.w. is saying, give sadaqah. Allah Pak will cure. And the third thing, Rasul s.a.w. wastaqbilu amwal al bala bil du'a. What tadarru. And the waves of fitnas that come, then you should now combat the waves of fitna, the waves of problems, the waves of calamity that come. How you'll combat it? With dua to Allah and becoming humble before Him, changing your life. So the first thing, make istighfar. The second thing is give sadaqah. The third thing, every day make dua. One is istighfar, then sadaqah. The third thing, dua. Make dua for our hifazat, our protection and our hidayat. Our family's hifazat, protection and hidayat. The entire ummah's protection and hidayat. Every day we must do this, yeah. Every day. This is the third thing. And the fourth thing is that we need to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Every sunnah in our life. Every sunnah of Rasulullah SAW. Bring it in our life. You'll see how Allah's divine help will come. Allah's divine help. And every sunnah, you know, every sunnah. So, you know, on this year, just one, two things I'm going to end. It's mentioned that there was one alim, he wrote a letter to Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mulana Muhammad Zakaria Khandeli Ramadullah. He told Hazrat Shaykh in the letter that the Muslims globally are suffering with a lot of problems. He says, Hazrat, you know, what's the solution to the ummah's problems? And how to change the halat? So Hazrat Shaykh Ramadullah wrote back, he says, you know, any intelligent Muslim to hear this from his mouth is quite surprising. You know, an intelligent Muslim should understand what the solution. Let alone an alim of your caliber asking a question like this. What's the solution? You know, it's surprising, it's astonishing. You being an alim, have so much knowledge, Quran, hadith, you asking, you should be doing this. And then as the Shaykh Rahmatullah told him, he says, all this is because of the amal of the ummah. Amal of the ummah. You're not finding. You're not finding the help of Allah, the loyalty that we need to show. You don't see Allah's help. So then he says, as the Shaykh explained, he says, you see, Allah Pak sent the deen of Islam. That's the perfect and complete way of life. That is the solution to all the problems of this ummah. And he sent a Nabi to show us how to live a life according to Islam. He never only sent Quran and Islam. He sent the Nabi to show us how to live our life according to Islam. So, and Allah Pak sent the Sahaba to preserve and document every sunnah. Open the books of hadith, you'll find every sunnah of Rasulullah is preserved. So when Allah Pak sent this hidayat, Allah Pak sent guidance to us, every problem of the ummah is in Quran and hadith. And what we did? We left it aside. We're holding on to the ways of kuffar. So he says that now when you are showing the disregard to Quran, to sunnah, to Rasulullah, every sunnah is leaving the lives of the Muslims, now what you can expect but the anger of Allah to come down. How can Allah's help them? Because you took out the sunnah. Bring the sunnah. The sunnah is that life. You know, like a body. It got everything, but you take out the ruh. How beautiful that girl, you wanted to marry her. But now she's dead. But they beautified her. She doesn't have the ruh. So the ruh of this ummah is the sunnah of Rasulullah. Otherwise, it's only Ahmad, Muhammad, Abu Bakr. That's all. It's names. You're wearing the kurta. Allahu Akbar. You're coming on the day of Eid, you got a kurta, you got the turban, alhamdulillah, this is very great. But when you're going home, what you're doing there? You're doing all the, every sin under the sun, you're doing the thing, you're doing Allah. As a Shaykh Ramad, so the sunnah is the thing that will attract the mercy of Allah. And if one man brings the sunnah, inshallah, he'll see good in his life. If a family brings the sunnah, they'll see good in their life. If a community bring the sunnah, they'll see the change in it. If the ummah bring the sunnah, they'll see a global change also. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakir Rahmatullah Ali had one khalifa. So this khalifa of his, he's a khalifa. He was an alim. He was the khalifa of this great buzrug. But he was going through a bit of difficulty in his life. He was going through some problem. So he came to Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Yunus John Puri, who is another Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakir Rahmatullah. So we got one alim coming to another alim. So this alim, he came, and he told Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana John Puri, you know, I got some problem. So Mawlana Shaykh John Puri told him, what's the problem? He says that, you know what, I know Allah is displeased with me. Allah is not happy with me. Please, can you show me a way that Allah will become happy with me? So Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Yunus John Puri was teaching Bukhari Sharif for I don't know how many years, over 40 years he taught. But the hadith of Rasulullah, Quran, Sunnah was in his heart, it was in his life. You see, someone who is a real buzrug and wali, will make it out. And a person who is a makeup, you'll make it out also. It's an act, he's quite good in giving an act. You know. So at the time of the crunch, you'll see it, you'll see the behavior. When this alim is telling him, Hazrat, you know, how to get the love of Allah, Allah is not happy with me, can you show me the way? Shaykh John Puri said, who am I? I'm nothing, you know. You're asking me. I don't have anything. How can I connect you with Allah? I'm so weak. I'm also, you know, a sinner. I don't have anything. So this person told Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith John Puri, he told him, Hazrat, no, see, this is your tawazu, your humility. You teach in Bukhari for so many years. I know who you are. I know you are. I know you can connect me with Allah. Please, for Allah's sake, you know, don't show humility. Just show me the answer, man. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana John Puri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he waited a while, and then he said, Madina wale ko khush kar de, Allah aap se khush ho jayenge. Please, the one in Madina Munawwara, Allah will be happy with you. Madina wale ko khush, the greatest person who is lying there resting in his grave in Madina Munawwara, you please him, Allah will be happy with you. In other words, if you want Allah, you can't get Allah. You have to first get Rasulullah sallam in your heart, in your life. Allah Pak will grant you Allah his love after that. Allah Pak will grant you. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. O Muhammad Sallam, tell your ummah, if you claim to love Allah, follow me, follow Muhammad Sallam. يُحْبِبْكُمْ Allah will love you, and Allah will forgive your sin. Quran, Allah is saying, he says, Madina wale ko khush kar de, Allah tumse khush ho jayenge. So then he says, how to please Rasulullah Sallam? Tell me. So he says, follow every sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam, and refrain from sins and guna. Follow every sunnah. He says, even if you don't have the urge to practice on any specific sunnah, That is something mustahab, like something mustahab, or just sunnat, or just it's a sunnat. But you don't have the earth, so he explained what he means. Say example, you don't have the earth to drink water now, but just to show Allah your love for Rasulullah, take that water and drink that water with all the sunnats. Sit down, then drink it. Say Bismillah. Drink it with three sips. Recite the dua after drinking water to show, I love you Allah, I love your Rasulullah, I love Islam. So even if you don't have that earth to do these type of sunnah, of course you can't say you don't have the earth to do anything of Islam. No, certain things, reading namaz, you have to read namaz, witr, you have to perform zakat, these, you're speaking about this, with certain things of this nature. So you don't have the earth, you still do it, just to show Allah. And you will see. So anyway, this alim, he went away. You know, Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah, Allah Pak, make us like him, you know, what a great buzruk, what a great buzruk. So, I heard this from one person who was very close to Hazrat Maulana. He says that Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah, was in Medina Munawara, and one person came to Hazrat Maulana and told Maulana that, I saw Rasulullah Asim in a dream, and Rasulullah Asim told me I must come by you. So this person was clean shaven, he never had no beard, and he was going through a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems, financial problems and other problems. So he was making dua to Allah, oh Allah, help me. So in the dream he saw Rasulullah. Rasulullah had such love for us, you know, Rasulullah got so much love for his ummah. So this ummati he saw, Rasulullah came, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him that my special friend is in Medina now, Medina Munawara, my special friend, go to him, his name is Maulana Yunus Patel. And Rasulullah even showed him in a dream how he looks. This is how he looks, you know, he showed him. Of course, it's a dream now. So he woke up and then he made inquiries and he came and he told Rasulullah, surely he told me, I come by you. What a great buzurug, man. What a great, his brother, Mawiliya, so great. Allah pak make us like these pious people. So anyway, so, then he gave this man a lot of nasihat, he assisted him financially, he told others also, and then he told him, you must grow a beard, you know, Rasulullah like that beard. Told him. And that person's life changed. Immediately that man's whole life changed. When Yusuf Patel Rahimullah was in the airport, and then he wanted water, and then where this buzruk was, you know, where there's honey, there's bees, you know, so many pious people all, you know, clinging to him. And then Mona wanted to drink water, so they brought water. Mona sat down, and then he drank the water with so much of dignity, fulfilling the sunnah in a sense. So there was one onlooker, he was one of the people working in the airport, it was a black person, right? And he came to Maulana and he said, you know, I want to speak to you, you know. I'm noticing from everybody, you are a person who's standing out, you look different from everybody. And you drank the water, I saw how you drank it. Can you explain to me? He said, this is the way of my beloved Rasulullah, we follow Islam, we follow Rasulullah. Hey, this man was, this one thing, drinking the water according to the way of Rasulullah, he said that, make me Muslim. He said, Ashhadu Allah, ilaha illallah, accept Islam there. And then he said, can you teach me this? So Mona told him, are you on duty or it's your break? He said, no, I'm still on duty. Mona said, no, you see, if you're duty, then it's not right for me to now engage you and speak to you. I'll be here, don't worry, I won't go anywhere, I'll wait for you. When's your break? He said, because now the airport, they're paying you. When they're paying you, you're supposed to be engaged in their work. You can't take off and come and speak to me. Mona taught him that too. And then he came. So look at the sunnah. So anyway, as the Sheikh John Puri told that alim, that Madina wale ko khush kar de, make Rasulullah happy. He said, how? He said, follow his sunnah, leave out sin, change your life. So after 1 month, that alim came to Hazrat Sheikh. He was so happy. He said, Hazrat, I came to tell you, Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy. Allah is happy with me now. He said, Allah is so happy with me. I know, and I'm so happy. I came to thank you. So as the Sheikh Jodhpuri told him, see, 1 month ago you came and told me Allah was displeased with you, right? Why? I never asked you that time, but can you tell me now, how did you know Allah was displeased with you that time? And now you say Allah is happy with you. How do you know Allah is happy with you now? Like, you know, what sign you got? He said, you see, 1 month ago my condition was this, is that I didn't find the inclination towards good deeds. The inclination of my heart was going towards sin. To come to the masjid for namaz was difficult. To recite Quran, to make zikr, to do all the good things. Hey, my heart is like hard for me. But, and my heart was pulling me towards sin. Guna, you know, some people, Allah save me, save all of us. With the cell phone, You can sit for hours. But you can read Quran, zikr, you don't want to do all that. Durud Sharif, you don't want to do all that. There's a problem in the heart. Allahu Akbar. So he said, but now after you told me, I made istighfar, tawbah, I brought the sunnah, I changed. He says, Alhamdulillah, now I'm finding that motivation and drive every moment for the love of Allah, love of Rasulullah, come to the masjid, Quran, all the time my heart is brimming with all this. And I saw Rasulullah SAW in a dream 1-2 days ago, and he said, now I'm happy with you. Allahu Akbar, Rasulullah, now I'm happy with you. So brother, this is what we need. Now the Muharram is coming, the Ashura, the 10th. This is the lesson of Ashura, this whole bayan I gave. This is the lesson of Ashura. Rasulullah SAW told, Khaliful Yahud, oppose the Jews. They fast only one day. You fast 2 days. To show them we are on the way of Muhammad Mustafa SAW. We are different. We are different nation. We will follow Allah and Rasulullah SAW. Follow Islam. We won't ape you. We won't follow you. We won't conform to your standards and your ways. At all, we won't emulate you. We only do. So Rasulullah SAW was not only telling us only for the Roza. He was saying that by oppose the Jews, the Christians, the Kuffar in everything. Everything. This is what Rasulullah's heart burning desire was. Then Allah Pak's love. So we must try to fast on Thursday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday, 2 days. And on Friday, that's the main day. The 10th is the main day. Rasulullah mentioned the one who will fast on the 10th, that's Yom Ashura. Allah Pak will forgive 1 year of his sins. Imagine 1 year of guna. And the one who will open his heart and spend on his family on the day of Ashura, of course means after the fast, right? That's Friday night, after you fasted. The main day is Friday, so Friday night when you open your fast, and then you open your heart and you spend, you give good meals and you give them, whatever. You give gifts to your wife and your children, so not a problem. He said, Man wasta ala iyali yawm Ashura, the one who will open his heart and spend on his family on the occasion of Ashura, wasta Allahu alayhi sa'ira sanati, Allah will grant him barakah for the entire year. We all want barakah. Allah Pak is showing that barakah is in deen, that barakah is in the sunnah. Allah Pak give me an honest tawfiq of making amal on whatever I said, wa akhi da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله فصلي وسلم على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أنت أهله وفعل بنا ما أنت أهله فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين ظلمنا أنفسنا وظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكون اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت أعلم بمنا أنت المقدم أنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مرضا إلا شفيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك رضا إلا قضيته ويسرته يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة بعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير إنك على كل شيء الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا اللهم اغفر أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر أمة اللهم احفظهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم عن أيمانهم عن شمائلهم فوقهم ومن تحتهم اللهم أهلك الكفر واليهود والنصارى والمشركين وعداء الدين اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وأنت أعلم بمنا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا الله الحليم الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة بعد الممات إنك على كل شيء ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.